Did you know the risk of cancer does not stop at the scene of a fire? Firefighters are constantly exposed to diesel exhaust fumes and other airborne toxins that get trapped inside the station. Protect yourself with MagnaGrip through the combination of MagnaGrip exhaust removal systems and AirHawk air purification systems. Learn more at MagnaGrip.com.
Welcome back to Main Street Firefighting, a podcast by Fire Engineering. As always, we'd like to thank Fire Engineering for allowing us to take the time to do this, and you all for listening in. Tonight's just going to be a short episode, kind of wrapping up what we did last year, what's coming up for us this year, and some references to books and other materials that we use to study. We've both been asked those questions a lot lately, like where can we go to look at legacy building construction information to follow up kind of what people are seeing in the streets and online. So we're just going to kind of go through some of our favorite books to kind of let you guys know like where we go to study for more information. So like I said, just kind of wrapping up last year, we were given this opportunity. This podcast used to be hosted by Joe Pernesi, and he handed it over to us in January of last year. So we've gotten the opportunity to interview a lot of really great firefighters across the country, talk about their experiences with buildings and fires in their area. And then we also partnered with Joe for the Main Street memos that come out once a month, just kind of talking about some legacy construction features and things to look out for. So we're looking forward to continuing both of those this year. And the plans for our podcast are to kind of continue to interview guests and their experiences with legacy construction in their areas and start taking a look at some large Main Street fires and try to get some of the chiefs or officers that were on scene to see what their lessons were learned from them. So if you guys have something that you want to talk about or have something you want to learn more on, please reach out to us and let us know. Our contact information can be found on Twitter, or you can reach out to me via email as well.
All right, so our 2022 goals are, you know, like she kind of hit on, we're going to, first and foremost, we're going to be at FDIC, which is a pretty awesome opportunity. It's a great time if you haven't been. It's worth the networking in itself, not to mention all the learning opportunities. But we will be taking our class. It's called Legacy Construction, a New Take on Old Buildings. It's going to be put on Friday morning. And we're going to try to bring some stuff that's specifically, you know, proprietary to that class. So it's not going to be anything that you're going to be able to see anywhere else, because we do quite a bit of traveling. So we're excited to teach that on the grand scale. And that's going to be something we're looking forward to. So hopefully you can join us for that if you have time on that Friday. So also, we continue to do more things with this podcast. And like Lex was saying, if you have had a fire on Main Street in recent history, or something that's happened relatively, you know, in the past month or two or this year, so have at it, reach out. We'd like to get your input on your experiences with that type of fire. So we kind of try to frame everything into buildings on Main Street. So obviously anything on Main Street, any Main Street incidents, fires, collapses, close calls, anything of that nature would be something we'd be interested in having you on the show for. It doesn't matter if you're on a big department or a small department, volunteer paid, none of that means anything. We just want the environment to talk about. So by all means, reach out if you have that opportunity to have, you know, had an incident on Main Street, or if you know a place that has, we can reach out to them maybe and get some more information.
So like I said earlier, we've been asked recently kind of where do we go for resources when we're looking at studying building construction, because, I mean, we obviously talk a lot about it, but we still continuously are studying and reading about it. One of the places that we like to go to recently is Fire Engineering's website, obviously. They've updated it and added a building construction section within the last year or so, and it's really useful. If you go to their main website page and then go to the firefighting section and scroll down, you'll find building construction. And this is where they kind of categorize everything construction related. You know, there's both legacy and modern listed, but anything that's put out, so anybody's memos, articles, recent fire information, and then all the podcasts are listed there as well. So it's a good place to just kind of search for all the recent articles that are coming out. And then also their podcast. There's several other series besides this one that are related to building construction. So if you're interested in it or you're wanting to learn something even about modern construction, there's a lot of other series to go out to and take a listen to. They're usually, you know, somewhere between 30 minutes and an hour. So it's a good, you know, commute listen to start studying some more. And then another thing that we kind of talk about in some of our classes is historical fires. These are a good thing to look at when you're wanting to learn about construction, not necessarily from a textbook. This is more like a lessons learned thing. So some of the ones that we talk about frequently is like the 23rd Street Fire. If you don't know what this is, look it up. But this is a good reference for terrazzo flooring.
So another big one that actually I'm surprised that a good majority of the students that we are teaching to have never heard of is Our Lady of Angels Fire in Chicago. And a lot of that came, a lot of things changes as far as the fire prevention industry and firefighting came from that fire. But like Lex was saying, these historical fires, they had huge ramifications and they manifest themselves today in a lot of our building codes, fire codes, and just things maybe we don't even think about why they came to be, started from, you know, lessons we learned in these old historic fires, whether it's the Iroquois Theater or the 23rd Street Fire or the Our Lady of Angels Fire, you know, there's Coconut Grove and all that kind of stuff like that that you can read up on and learn some stuff. So historical fires are a great starting place to kind of, you know, get some really neat knowledge moving forward, especially when it comes to legacy buildings, because, you know, all these things are tied together in time. So it's easy to understand the present if you really know the past. Another one is the Pemberton Mill Fire, and that one's particularly important for knowing cast iron and all the false information or misinformation about cast iron columns, specifically why they fail and when they fail. It's not what you think. Okay, we've all been taught, you know, cold water on cast iron makes them fracture because the cold water hitting the hot metal. That is just not the case. There's been numerous studies done by UL from the 80s disproving all that, and it's just like any metal. It fails from heat. All right? It's not cold water hitting hot metal. It's due to the casting process being uneven and ununiform. So you don't know when you get the failure, but we do know that heat causes it, and we do know when the cast iron fails, it does shatter catastrophically, unlike steel, which obviously bends at a certain temperature and then eventually fails and twists.
And Dunn hits on the information in his book too, about how we were originally thought it was from the cold water application, but really it's the casting process. So why that doesn't hit the mainstream information, you know, we're not sure, but that is a good one to study and start to kind of dig into more to kind of learn more about it.
And it goes to show you that it is out there, right? I mean, it's in a paragraph in a major fire engineering publication, but what it's not in is any IFSTA book, which is taught to 99% of the fire service when they come up through whatever state you live in, through whatever fire academy or fire 1-2 program. So that's kind of the problem, right? It's in the books. It's just maybe not in the right books that it should be. So the information is out there, but if you don't go and take it upon yourself and to really read up on building instruction on a more expert level, if you just go through Fire 1 and 2 and then that's it, you're not going to get a lot of information that you really should have, and or the information you're getting may not be the best. So that's just kind of a point there. So it's not like it's hidden somewhere, right? Like, we didn't have to like go through some archives back in history and find this stuff. It's actually out there, but you have to really get the right books. And it's unfortunate that something like that, the cast iron myth, we like to call it, isn't, it's unfortunate that it's even a thing. It's completely unnecessary misinformation that should just be known.
So kind of following up on what he was just saying about, you know, continuing to study building construction after Fire 1 and 2, the big question that we're always asked is, you know, what books do we go to study building construction? So when someone comes in and is trying to take a class or learn more about their buildings, when they go out in the street and they see something weird, they don't really know what to do next. We kind of went through some of our books that we use the most when we're studying or trying to learn some more information, and try to do kind of short summaries of them and why we recommend them, kind of who we recommend them for. So we're going to kind of go through that now. Obviously, anything by Vincent Dunn is highly recommended for all things tactics and construction. Firefighter Battle Space series is really good. The first one hits mostly on the construction stuff. It's split into 26 types of battle spaces or fire environments. It covers everything from residential to warehouses, buildings under construction, and literally everything in between. Each chapter starts by defining what the battle space is that he's referring to, and then goes into specific hazards. So he'll define different things you'll find in them, and then explain how to mitigate them the best way possible. And then at the end, there's also a specific collapse section that's pretty useful, kind of summarizes all the different collapse types and things that you might come across.
Yeah, I believe this book that she's talking about also has game changers built into every chapter, which is basically his version of what most of us would call like a red flag, or something that if you're an IC on scene, or you know, a first in officer, something that would should pique your attention to something that maybe out of the norm, or some sort of impending sign. So that's invaluable information, right? Not only does he break down the different types of environments, but he also says, hey, look for these specific things. You know, these are things that maybe someone has learned the hard way, or from his personal experience learning things coming up through the war years. These are his red flags. So I don't know any other author who has ever really penned a book in that context, and that's why this one is absolutely just so useful 5 minutes after you put the book down. And I think that's why it's definitely high up on my list for sure, and why we recommend it.
Another one by Vincent Dunn again is Collapse of Burning Buildings. This is basically as it sounds. It's all the different types of collapse and the thing indicators of and things you can learn from it. So in this book, he breaks each chapter down into beginning with a specific case study of a fire. And then he follows this up by describing the key features of the building and the things that happened in that fire specifically. And then the chapter closes out with his specific tactical recommendations and summary of lessons learned. So again, it's kind of the same thing where he gives you the things that they learned from and paid attention to. And then the book also has a good reference diagrams. He has a lot of really good visual aids spread out through here that explain some of the construction terms. I know I personally am a visual learner, so sometimes when I'm reading these things, unless I see a picture of it, I don't really understand what it's talking about. So he uses a lot of fire photos and diagrams to explain what he's talking about from these specific fires that he's doing the case studies on, that I think help bring a better understanding.
So yeah, Collapse of Burning Buildings, like she was saying, is good for a lot of reasons. A lot of visual indicators are in the book. It's also written, it's clearly written from a fireman's perspective and context, especially someone who's come up through the ranks and seen different things at different times in their career that may have meant, you know, certain things. So depending on what part of the career you're in. And it's really cool how it's written. It's not from, you know, it's not an architect, it's not an engineer. When it comes to collapse, it's written from someone that we can easily understand and then probably relate to maybe some fires that we have been on, which is why I think Dunn is definitely one of the easier reads out there. Anything that he pens is usually pretty easy to read and very easy to resonate with. Unlike some of the more complex technical books that are out there, which also have a place. It's always good to know that kind of stuff. But then again, the technical literature is a little harder to take to the street, and Dunn's work is a lot easier, I think, to take to work with us, I guess, per se.
I think especially too, if you're newer to the fire service, or maybe just newer to studying construction, like you've been in the fire service for a while but you haven't really dove into construction stuff, these are the places that we would start, just because, like you said, some of the more technical information is kind of difficult to weed through. Sometimes it's great to know the stuff, but you want to know what you need on the street when you get off the truck, and his books really just focus on that. Another one is The Art of Reading Buildings by John Mittendorf and Dave Dotson. This book breaks down into specific structural elements and then breaks down how to read the buildings and finishes with each individual kind of building. And what I mean by that is everything from single family dwellings to multifamily dwellings. They talk about commercial, office buildings, public assemblies. Anything that you could possibly come across in your still areas would be in this book. And then the end of each chapter, what I really like, has a list of resources that they utilize. So it's basically like references, but it's for that specific chapter. And so it's really handy if you're looking up, say, something on single family dwellings. You read his chapter, but you want more information specifically on it. His references list for that chapter is right at the end, rather than having to read through the entire book's worth of references. So I think that's really helpful if you're trying to, you know, study something specific for your area.
So yeah, the book is really cool how it's set up. I mean, the contents has, it's just, it's a very, very easy book to use as a reference and as a place to gather knowledge. So, I mean, it's also a good book for training. It's not just a book of terminology, right? Like there's sections set up specifically for just looking at a picture in the book, and then you can use that as training for a company or for yourself. You know, how to read a building, what are you looking for, size up considerations, how to age a building, what era the building is from. And like Lex was saying, the book really does a good job at breaking it down into, if you want to learn more about a specific building type, you can go to the references and that they cite, and then go on from there to some more deeper knowledge of that specific type of building construction type. So also, it also hits on a lot of the NFPA 220 stuff, which is, it kind of bridges the gap between, like, you know, the trade, the very, you know, the high-end fire inspection type stuff, the trade stuff like that. It bridges the gap in between that and just what we need to know on the street. So it's a very well-rounded book. It does have a West Coast, I would say, perspective to things when it comes to buildings, because the buildings do change from east to west, right? The buildings we see in New York State don't necessarily look like the buildings we see in California. And there's a lot of reasons why that is. But there is some variance there, and you can kind of tell once you read through the book where the book lies in geographically speaking. But overall, it's a really, really great book. Very, very, very high up on the recommendation list. It's always one I kind of go back to on occasion for some specific things. And it's a good just general book for probably anyone in the fire service to use.
Another book we recommend is Brannigan's Building Construction for the Fire Service by Glenn Corbett and Francis Brannigan. This book is broken down into the beginning with some fire behavior information, talks about some fire protection systems and construction types. This book is what we would recommend for someone with a little bit more experience in building construction. It's a really good reference if you're looking for technical information and definitions. However, it can be a little heavy for someone that's new. There's just so much information in one book that it can be kind of hard for someone newer to kind of differentiate what's really important for them to learn. So I would say if someone's been studying this for a while and kind of wants more information, or is specifically looking at a piece of construction that they want to know more of, this is a really good reference point. There's, I believe, 5 editions of it now. Someone asked me a couple days ago, you know, if they can't afford to buy the newest edition, you know, is it okay if they buy one of the older ones? And I think that's fine. I think it's a good place to start. Like I said, not a lot of the information is going to change, obviously. So if you can get, you know, the 3rd or 4th edition, I think you'll be just fine with being able to study it as well. But like I said, there are 5. They do change a little bit. So if you can get your hands on all of them, I think it's interesting to be able to compare how the books have developed throughout the years.
Yeah, I'll just be honest, not my favorite book. I took an entire college semester, and this was our textbook. And like Lex was saying, I didn't have much experience at the time. This was my first building instruction book I came into contact with, and I was lost by the 1st or 2nd page, right? I mean, it's just so technical, very dry, hard to read. It makes you hate building instruction, especially if you're a teenager, 17, 18, you know, trying to just get into the fire service. It's pretty excruciating. But nonetheless, it is a very good reference, highly technical, good on the terminology. It is very good for a lot of things, like Lex was saying, if you have a very specific work you need to cite with some, you know, very specific
parts of construction, it is a good book to go back to for some numbers, things like that, definitions, terminology. But it does, I think, in my opinion, a pretty poor job of wrapping it in a firefighting context, specifically where it fits strategically. The information you're learning is just terminology and numbers. And that's great when you're trying to maybe pass a midterm, but it's very hard to take this book on the street. And that's why it's not my favorite, but we definitely can't dismiss it. It has five editions for a reason, and hopefully they keep updating it and continuing it to be published. But there's just better books out there, but definitely make sure you do pick it up. It's definitely not one to be without.
Another book we recommend is Fireground Tactics by Emmanuel Freed. I think is how you say his last name. This book is from the 70s. But still very relevant today. There's a few outdated pieces when it comes to water application. Just things that they obviously wouldn't have known that we've learned from recent studies. But other than that, the rest still stands as pretty applicable. The chapters are broken down into specific fire problems and their recommendations on how to combat them. And it's also one of the only books that specifically references void space fires. This book is pretty difficult to find, can be kind of expensive, but really worth it if you or your department can get their hands on it to take a look at. And it's also a super easy read.
Yeah, worth its weight in gold. My favorite number one textbook in the fire service, hands down. I really wish someone would republish this book, whatever that process is. I don't know, obviously, the licensing and how all that works in the publishing world. But this book definitely needs to be reprinted, reintroduced into the fire service on a mass scale. And it's sad that you kind of have to go on eBay or know someone who's selling it or just happen to come across it at a bookstore or something like that to find it. Its information is incredible. It's just straight up experience from the war years. It doesn't get any better than that when it comes to what you could put in a book and give to someone to learn how to be a fireman. It was from the busiest era in human history when it comes to firefighting, and the principles and the strategies are absolutely still useful today as it was then. There is, like she was saying, some outdated stuff with water application, with fog streams, just because that was in vogue at the time. But other than that, everything in there is spot on and absolutely incredible to people to look back in time and see what they were doing then, you know, works now in these older buildings. So it's a very, very good book for a lot of reasons. Also, it does a really good job of kind of addressing building construction and then why the building construction is important specifically to firefighting and how that works in your tactics and your strategies and almost what tools to use. And it does a really good job of wrapping it up. It's a very holistic, I guess, reference for firefighting, and it does a good job at a lot of things. So it's not just a building construction book, it's not just a strategy book. There's a little bit of everything in there.
It's got some cultural stuff in it too, like the why behind we should care for firefighting. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, it does a good job of, like he said, kind of a 360 look at the fireground.
So yeah, very, very good book. I would love to just do an entire class on this book, whether it's a college semester or, you know, just studying this book or using this book as a class for, you know, a conference or something like that. I just wish more people would use it and get out there and start, you know, grabbing stuff from it and then redistributing that and educating the fire service. Because, you know, that's what the purpose of all these books is for, right? These books aren't meant to just sit on a shelf and collect dust. They're meant for us to read, interpret, and then turn around and then teach other people who don't have access to these books.
So another book is Failure Point, How to Determine Burning Building Stability by Howard Hill. This was published by Fire Engineering. This book is really handy because it breaks down like fire damage to buildings, analysis of structural damage, so how to look for structural damage and where. So anything from walls, columns. It does cover also floor collapse and roof collapse. And then it talks a little bit about loads, understanding how buildings are built and the loads that are supposed to be spread out. And then it gets into risk management and preventing fire-induced building collapse. This book's really nice too because it references some other fires. It just does like a little short info on it and then uses that to kind of describe the building. So it gives you a good place if you're looking for fires to study. It lists some of those. It also has a handful of firefighter fatality reports in here as well. And then if you buy this book new, it comes with a supplemental like video DVD series that you can use kind of with your crews to study some more.
Yeah, this is a really good book. It's unknown for the most part. A lot of people don't know about it. It's fairly kind of, you know, not common out there. But if you do get your hands on it, it's a good read. It's definitely a good addition to Vincent Dunn's Collapse of Burning Buildings. They kind of go hand in hand. They're written from people on the same department. Maybe not on the same time exactly, but so it's two different perspectives, a lot of the same stuff by two very experienced people. And like I said, it's a very good addition to Collapse of Burning Buildings. It's called Failure Point, How to Determine Burning Building Stability. So there's a lot to take away from this little book. It's a pretty quick read. It's not one you're going to necessarily read front to back. It's more of a reference guide and some stuff for specific information. So maybe you're just buying the book for a chapter or two, and then or going back to it just for something in one chapter, which is what a lot of these books are mostly used for. These aren't novels. They're not meant to just be read from cover to cover and then remembered. That's not how you use these. But like I said, another good book, not really talked about a lot, but definitely one to have.
So another one that's a little bit different than the other ones we've referenced so far is Building Construction Illustrated by Francis Ching. So this book, like we refer it to people as like a coloring book for firefighters. It is basically a visual representation of everything you could possibly read in all of the other books. So again, like I am a visual learner. So sometimes when I read in these other books, I don't understand, you know, exactly what they're talking about. So if I'm looking at masonry walls and I don't really understand what they mean by certain things, I can go reference this book. And there are thousands of diagrams that describe everything you could possibly want to know. So this is a good book just to kind of pair with your other books if you're more of that visual type learner.
Yeah, this is a good book if you're building presentations or you have to put a company training together or something maybe department-wide. A really good book to go grab some pictures from, some diagrams, a lot of really good illustrations. That's all this book is. It's not terminology, it's illustrations of what the terminology is, which is good for a lot of reasons, because if you have a building instruction book that has more words than it does pictures, that kind of causes some problems, mostly because if you don't understand what you're reading, the mental image in your head may not be correct. So this book takes care of that. It's a fantastic reference. It's not written from a firefighting viewpoint or context. It's not written by a fireman. So it is written, you know, by the building trades, architecture, students, that kind of thing. So, but it does a really, really good job of giving you basic diagrams, pictures, and photos of what the building components are that you can reference in any of the other firefighting building instruction books.
So this is kind of broken down into some more architecturally framed chapters. So when I go to use it, I go back to the back and use the reference section. That's a whole lot easier rather than trying to dive into a specific chapter. But like you said, it just kind of pairs well with the other books to help you understand.
So yeah, this is another kind of unknown book out there, or not well known about. It's just called Knowing Your Buildings, a Firefighter's Reference Guide. And it's a soft cover, no thicker than I would say like a National Geographic magazine. And it has a lot of really good, this is not, like I said, what I just said previously, you don't want to have a building instruction book with more words than photos, because then it makes it really hard for people who don't have a lot of actual experience to put those words into actual context. The words they're reading might not make sense. The picture in their head might not be the right picture to the words they're reading. And you don't want that to happen. You want someone to read about a rafter and then be able to actually picture a rafter in their head. You want them to read about a rafter than them thinking about trusses or something like that. So this book does a really good job at that. Think of it as almost like a illustrated dictionary would be the best way I could describe this book. Has really, really good examples, a lot of charts, a lot of information, a lot of data, and it's all written from a firefighter perspective. So It's a really good quick reference. Like I say, if you're building a training program or you have to put a class together or you're doing a project on building construction, it's a really good balance of technical information put into a fireman context with a lot of visual aids. And it's a very small book. Like I said, it's about as thick as a magazine. So it's a good one just to carry around with you in your bag or something like that when you're at work.
So another one we recently came across is Firefighting Operations in Garden Apartment and Townhouses by Glenn Gaines. So this is obviously a very specific book, right? It's, you know, on one subject matter. It was written in 1978, but it's a really useful... Again, this is another small soft cover book, maybe a little bit thicker than the last book we were just referencing. But it's broken down into... operationals and garden apartments, like exactly what a garden apartment is, how to pre-plan, and then gets into the tactics.
So yeah, this was actually a really awesome find. I believe it was either sent to us or someone gave it to us. We've all had this happen, right? We're cleaning out like the old bookshelf in the firehouse, and it was just this old book, and it didn't seem like it was useful anymore. So there was just this old box of books, and then I think someone asked if we wanted it. So that's how we came across it. And man, it's a great book. It is actually awesome. The photos inside, it's a really, really good example of a building instruction book with a very specific strategies and tactics section for obviously one general type of building, but has some awesome pictures of strategies that you can use for garden style apartments and just some really, really good information on what those are, how to fight fire in them in general. I'm not sure if there's any other books similarly written about garden apartments. They do come in such a variety that, I mean, having a book on them makes sense, but it's just one of those books that, unfortunately, we used to have a lot more relevant texts in the fire service that kind of have gone by the wayside, right? We've seen that with our Fire 1 and 2 books, right? The IFSTA books. People don't realize 20, 30 years ago, every chapter in the Fire 1 and 2 book had its own book to go along with that. Well, that's not really the case anymore, right? That's why the Fire 1 and 2 book keeps getting bigger. So this is just, like I said, kind of an example of that, to where this is a very specific book on one general type of building, but has some really, really awesome information about garden-style apartments, what to do on those. It breaks them down into very good diagrams, pictures, anything you want to know about those. And it's written from a perspective of experience, and it was written in a time where there's obviously more fires in these types of buildings. But these buildings are very common today, and they're starting to be, you know, built from a more modern perspective. So the tactics and strategies are definitely not outdated by any means.
So there's obviously, you know, a dozen more construction or tactics books that we could reference when we're studying, but these are the ones that we probably utilize the most when we're building classes or doing research for a podcast or just specifically something we come across at work we want to know more about. These are the ones that we would definitely dive into first. So with that being said, Chris, if you could only buy one of these, which one would you buy?
Ooh, definitely Fire Ground Tactics by Emmanuel Fried for sure.
So I would have to agree with him. If you can't find that one, because like we said earlier, unfortunately, it's really hard to find. Definitely go with one of Dunn's, whether you either get the first of his Battle Space series, which again, there is three of those. The most recent one came out is all tactical and is very good. So whether you start with Battle Space or you do Collapse of Burning Buildings, like I said, those are geared towards firemen. Their firemen speak. They hit on both the construction and tactics. So it's a good place to start. So those would be our recommendations. Like I said, if you can only buy one book or you want to start building a library, you know, start with those and then obviously go from there. If you guys are looking for books, obviously Fire Engineering's website is a great place to go. You can also hit up eBay, Amazon, all those sites have the books listed. You can usually find an older copy that's in pretty good condition. And then hit up your firehouse too. Like he said, a lot of the books that we've gotten is, you know, old firehouses cleaning out sacks of books, and they're going to get thrown away, so we take them into our library. So that's kind of another option for you guys as well. But we just want to wrap this up and thank you guys for listening tonight. Just like we said, this is kind of a preview of what's to come this year. We wanted to give you guys some reference points. We're looking forward to some podcast interviews we have set up for the future and seeing everybody at FDIC.